Everything Fraser Coast. I'm Jussie Lindeberg, your host, and today I've got Stuart Marshall joining me, your local Hervey Bay gentleman here living in the Fraser Coast. How are you going, Stuart?
I'm good, thank you. I was a bit carried away with music and I was having a really good dance.
Well, do you know the last couple of podcasts I've done, my guests have really gone to town with dancing and really enjoying the music.
I slipped into Happy Days mode.
Well, I think that's it. From now on, I'm going to record people and I'll be able to do a compilation of all this dancing.
A Christmas special. Yeah, it's got
to
be done.
Might have to get you to do one for me after we finish this. I missed the opportunity though, so it's going to be a bit rehearsed now. So I asked Stuart to come along. We met recently at a workshop, which I had done a podcast on and shared through the podcast and the blog and the Facebook group. And he has a story, young Stuart. And I thought,
young Stuart, we like that.
I thought this was something worth sharing. So that's why Stuart's joined me, which is why everybody comes and joins me to tell you the truth, Stuart.
Of course.
Everyone's got a story, right? So, but before we sort of, let's scrape back at the beginning. So would you like to share a bit about yourself?
Let's go back to almost the beginning, being
born
and bred in Tasmania.
Oh,
now that's not my fault. Okay, it's my parents' fault. Had I had of a choice, it would not be Tasmania. I love Tassie. I love visiting Tassie, but living there, let's be honest, once you get past sort of 17, there's not a lot to do. Not great opportunities, so.
Did you see me looking around for my laughter button?
You were like, I was like, what are you doing?
Which one is it?
Just press laughter. I'm funny, press laughter.
I've got special effects. I'm such a dag. I've got to use them.
That's cool.
So I went to Tassie last year. Went to Hobart. Yay. I was on a tour.
Yep.
And so glad I did it before the eye problem. And I actually thought Tassie was beautiful and...
Tassie is beautiful.
But I understand why you left.
When I first left, I moved to Melbourne. You hear a lot of Tassie jokes, but probably the best one I heard was from my boss at the time that says, "Oh, Stuart, totally, mate, I was going to Tassie the other week, but the shit was closed." I'm like, dude, Tassie's not an amusement park. That's awful. Like, but yeah, that's... You know, two-headed jokes. We get all that. Poor little Tassie. It is beautiful. My family's all there. So I did actually take my wife and the kids back last year. And I got to catch up with family and got to show the kids around. They've never seen it before. They'd actually never seen snow before.
Wow.
Queensland born and bred. So I got to take my wife and the kids up to my sister's holiday shack, which is literally a converted boat shed.
I've seen them.
She's pretty old school.
Yeah, they're pretty basic.
There's no running water.
Is that on a lake somewhere?
Yeah, literally. You could throw a rock from her.
It's not on Lake Cramp.
Not Lake Cramp. It's called the Great Lakes. Great Lakes, close to Arthur's Lake. We went there as kids, as with our grandparents a lot.
Wow. So
our grandparents. We spent a lot of time with my grandparents because both my parents worked so much. So school holidays, pretty much every school holiday was off with the grandparents, up to the Great Lakes.
Yeah, wow. But I've asked you along, actually, to get a bit further closer. We probably don't have time to go through your whole history.
No.
But like everyone, and truly like everyone, your life's full of highs and lows.
Massively.
And you've had some pretty extreme highs and lows that you... I know you're happy to share a little bit of that, of course. Which just leads you to a position where you are now in a really positive space. So are you happy to share
summarise some of those highs and lows, beginning with living a really great life in the Philippines. Lived internationally for quite some time.
Wow. How long were you in the Philippines for?
18 months or so.
Yeah.
I went over there on a holiday and just didn't come back.
Wow.
So that was pretty interesting.
Well, you're not allowed to say. Don't incriminate yourself.
Nah, it's cool. I'm back in the country now and everything's all good.
Okay.
But I didn't come home. I just stayed there and just ended up doing odd jobs around. I had some really good friends there.
Wow.
So yeah, I just didn't come back. And then when I did come back, I basically walk back into my old job for a major supermarket company. And I was there for almost 10 years up until I actually got fired.
Yep.
And I got fired for stealing.
Wow.
Like, I was a store manager. I was on a really good salary. But I was also a raging alcoholic. Yep. So all of my money went to alcohol. I was a functioning alcoholic.
Yep.
And that functional alcoholism lasted with me probably for 5 to 6 years, which is something that I covered as much as I could. Very few people knew about it, but it was something that affected my life dramatically. So I went from being a high-paid retail store assistant, store manager, to living in my car. I'd lost all of my friends. I'd lost my job. I'd lost my friends because I kept stealing from them to buy alcohol, and they wouldn't let me stay in their houses anymore, and I don't blame them.
Can I ask you a question? So you talk about this so confidently and bravely. Have you always been able to just be able to reflect and talk about that time, or has it come with experience and age and understanding that you now can talk about?
I think definitely it's come with age and acceptance of that was how it was then.
Yeah.
It's not how it is now. And what's the point in hiding away from it? Like, one of the other major, I guess, downsides, I shouldn't say it to as a downside, but one of the other major things that people don't know about me is I can barely spell.
Yeah.
I don't really read very well. My wife has to help me read menus at restaurants. If I have to put a professional Facebook post up, I have to get my wife to spell check it for me. I can't read. I can't write very well at all.
So how does your wife like being your PA? What's your wife's name?
Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
I hope you're getting a good rate. You don't want to answer that, do you?
I think she gets a bit frustrated at times.
I was just being cheeky.
That's cool. Like, I deserve it. I'll type things out, and she asks is that I try.
Yeah.
So I type it out, and you know, Word comes up with little red squiggly lines that says I've spelt it wrong.
Yes.
And some of them I can correct, and some of them I just can't do it. Yeah. I don't understand the word. I can know it in my head and I can articulate it, but getting it on paper
to that.
Just doesn't happen.
Well, I used to be an exceptional speller, and as my MS progresses, my spelling is getting worse and worse and worse, and sometimes I don't even realize it's worse. But anyway, but more credit to you, because you are self-employed and living a very positive life. And would you like to let everyone know, this isn't a big sell, this is your story that I just asked you to come in because it's motivational. So Stuart, what is it that you do?
I'm an online run coach.
Yeah, which is just bizarre.
It's a weird thing to say. I've actually had to come to terms with telling people what I do for a living, and people say online run coach.
I know it doesn't make sense. You're going to have to explain
this
one. Yep.
So I never really wanted to be a runner. I just got annoyed because it was something I couldn't do. And my wife is actually into running, not me, and she dragged me to the runs, and she dragged me to park run, and I didn't like it at all. But what I liked even less was that she could beat me, and I mean, she smoked me.
So, well, I'm sure you didn't come last, because if it's the Hervey Bay Park Run, I did that about 3 times, and I'm sure I came last each time.
We have tail walkers that due to come last, so that's all good. But there's a little bit of pride damage there when your wife can just absolutely smoke you.
Yeah.
And now it's what I do for a living, because I just love the simplicity of running.
Yep.
And that it is accessible for 99.9% of people.
Yeah.
So you don't need a gym membership. You don't need expensive shoes. You don't need You don't even need a lot of time.
I'm glad you said 99.9 because I'm that 0.01.
Did you like that?
You did. I knew that you were counting me then. We already had a chat about I can't run. My legs just stop working. They go incredibly numb and things further up just stop working too, which just gets very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, so. And it would, and I would just have to put you into the too hard basket and say, do you know what, you're just not the client for me.
I've been in that. I'd be rejected. Oh, I just got rejected.
No, we don't reject anyone unless they're too hard. No, the only time I'll reject someone is if they're too fast, actually.
Oh, okay.
No fast runners on my team.
Well, do you know, can I tell you that it wasn't always this way? I used to like running as well, and I remember, like, in my early 20s, I wanted to do a triathlon, and I used to do different, every fun run and that sort of thing. I used to go in the mall. And I lived in Canada when I was 25 for a whole year, and that year I decided, while I'm over here, I'm living in high altitudes and all these beautiful different areas of Canada, I'm going to work on my running. So some Aussies go to Canada and get drunk. I went to Canada and I ran.
And you ran.
So
didn't play ice hockey. No,
I wish I played with some ice hockey players. I didn't.
I got nothing. What does the red button do?
Anyway, for the summer period, I lived in the Queen Charlotte Islands, just south of Alaska. The largest black bears are on these islands. And it was a deep sea fishing lodge, very remote. And you worked for the whole summer period. And my only downtime in my whole summer period was when I'd go running. And to the end of the island road and back to the base where we lived was a 10-kilometer round trip. So I used to hang a bell off me or keys off my waist and just I'd run it. And my motivation to keep running was the bears.
Oh, wow.
Because did you know that a bear does not shit in the woods? It shits on the path and the road. So I was sure that I was going to.
You were
going to
get done.
I was going to come across a bear. And
either that or you're going to step in bear shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And yeah, so, and then I had an injury and I sort of lost my my running mojo for a bit. But yeah, that was my motivation. What? So do you help people find their motivation? Or what exactly do you do with the online?
So for me, it's about creating self-belief that these people, just because they're slow and they're just starting out, it's about creating that belief that they are worth it,
yeah.
You know, that they can do it.
There's got to be a nicer way than saying someone's slow.
Really fast walking. Actually, you can't, because walking is... So if you define walking as both feet are constantly in contact with the ground, to be a runner, you have to have one foot in the air.
So maybe a developing runner.
So, well, yeah, some of the programs are called developing, intermediate and advancing.
Yeah.
Rather than A, B or C or 1, 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Or, you know, not so good, really, really crap. Why even bother? that was me to begin with.
Yeah, well, we've all been there.
Absolutely, and I really understand that I'm probably one of the slowest runners you'll come across. I am the sort of person that has to worry about cutoff times. I have finished events where they have been packing up. I have finished events where they have actually fully packed up and my bike was laying on the ground. I was that slow. So one thing that all the slowies that are listening to this that you'll understand, and you'll only understand if you're a slow runner, is when you get to the drink stations and there's nothing but mushy watermelon left because all the fast runners have taken all the good bits and it sucks. Now, slowies will understand that and they're just going to go, yep, totally, get it.
So what sort of goal do you have? So if you wanted to start running, can it just be as simple as that, oh, I really want to have a go at running, I know I can do it? Or do I have to say, oh, Stuart, I've got a goal to do a marathon by the time I'm 50. What do people need to do?
Go out the front door.
That's it.
What's stopping you?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to take it a little bit more seriously, and especially if you are someone that is strapped for time, or you're carrying some pre-existing injuries, then definitely a running coach is probably a worthwhile investment.
Yeah.
Because I think I explain to people when they say to me, oh, do I need a coach? No, of course you don't need a coach. You need a pair of shoes and you need a footpath.
Yep.
All the information that you need to run your first half marathon, run your first marathon is available, whether it be on Google or YouTube, but you've got to invest the time to look it up. And time is the one thing that we're all short of.
Yep.
So that's why I have a job. I do all that for you. I'll do your training programs. I'll do your plans. I'll help you with your nutrition. I'll keep you injury free. So my job is to get you over your finish line as fast as I can, but as safe as I can. And that's why I have a job.
Right. So all somebody needs if they sign up with you or when they sign up with you is they just need a smartphone.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all done online. I've got some clients in Western Australia, a couple in New Zealand that I have never even spoken to on the phone. I'm not a sort of give me a phone number and I'll give you a free breakthrough call or whatever the case may be. I actually do a free 14-day trial because it's so damn hard to explain to people how it works.
Yeah.
It's just easier to give people a trial.
That's great.
So that they can see exactly how it's going to work for them because I need to work around your lifestyle.
Yeah.
A lot of my people are mums. Now, as a mum, you're busy enough.
Yeah.
So you put yourself on the back burner. The last thing you want to think about is, oh shit, now I've got to go for a run. Now I've got to do this. Now I've got to do that. I don't want it to be like that for you. I want it to complement your lifestyle.
Yeah.
So that it works in harmony. So you're still doing something for you and you're achieving something for you, but it's in balance with your lifestyle.
Yeah. So you obviously have a PT background.
Yes, I was a PT for many, many years in a face-to-face environment.
Yep.
So you learn all about the movements and the movement patterns. And I think it's really important to have that face-to-face experience before you move online because it's a very different world. Whereas now, if I have someone that may have a little bit of an injury or a bit of a niggle, and they say, oh, I'm doing a squat and it's hurting my back, I've got to get them to send me some video footage. And I've been doing this for years, so straight away I know what I'm looking for. But if you haven't had that face-to-face experience, you don't really know what you're looking for. So potentially you can actually do more damage than good.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Well, I think it's very interesting. And if I wish I could run. Run, Forrest, run.
Run, Forrest, run away.
So you've got a community also on Facebook, which is purely for, it's not for promoting anything other than getting slow runners together
online. Really is, absolutely. Yeah. It's literally called the Slow Runners Society. We have a little logo with a turtle.
I think I'm going to join that. Can I join that?
Please do. Find me on Facebook. Just search Slow Runner Society.
I can run to the toilet sometimes, so that's counted.
That's probably the fastest I run.
That's probably the most important short sprint.
When the doorbell rings and the pizza man's there, I can run, or when I've got to go to the toilet, and that's about it.
Well, I must admit, I do like it that you're very fitness orientated, but I mean this as a compliment. You feel, well, you look very normal. Like you don't, I don't have a shrink. Well, hang on, you've called me slow and you've rejected me, so it's my turn to get back to you.
I'm just going to sit up straight and suck my tummy in. I think that's probably what we're in. You're sitting at home and you're listening, but you can't see. I'm pulling my singlet to try to cover up the fact that, yeah, I'm probably carrying a few extra kilos and I don't look like a bodybuilder.
No.
I don't want to look like a bodybuilder.
Oh, you don't want to?
No, this is on purpose. Hello.
You work hard.
This is not a beer belly. This is on purpose. But no, I don't want to ostracize myself from the people that I'm trying to connect with.
Good comeback.
Practiced that one, didn't I, on the way over here. Now, how am I going to make excuses? I'm a little bit overweight. Yeah, guys, a little bit overweight. So let's get into it. I'm 100 kilos. And that from my 6'2", I'm comfortable at probably about 80, 82 kilos.
Yeah.
But I'm coming off a few injuries where I didn't run. And, chips are good. Pizza's good.
I honestly really like that you speak very real, Stuart. It's, you know, you're not.
There's nothing very fancy about me. Why use fancy words?
If you can't spell them.
Oh, I can't spell them. Where's that? Where's the laughter button? That was probably your best one there. Hi, my name's Stuart and I can't spell.
Sorry. Yeah, come along to Everything Fraser Coast so I can pick on you.
Absolutely. That's, yeah, like dig into the pain points, dig into your insecurities and just let Jazzy rip you. It's great.
Hey, you're a really good sport, Stuart. I will do a little blog and share your actual business.
Oh, yes, to finish line. Yes, there is a business side of things.
Oh, yeah,
there.
We didn't talk about
that. No, there is. No, it's not. For me, it's more about promoting running and getting people involved in running and getting rid of the stigma that running is for fast people.
Yeah.
It's really not. It's for everybody. And, you know, those top 10 finishers, they wouldn't even have an event if people like myself didn't buy our entry fees, because there's 300 or 400 other competitors behind them that pay for the road closures and allow them to get their trophies and stand on the podium. I'll never do that, but I love it. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So surely there's got to be more people like me that have a love for it and have a desire to want to do something for themselves without, you know, being intimidated or not knowing where to go.
Well, I was just, one last thought I had was, I was always like one of the skinniest in my class and the smallest, and I used to, from a young age, participate in fun runs. It was just something that my family did. And I can always remember how I would try my hardest to, I'd try and go as fast as I could. And people that weren't skinny, they were all different shapes and sizes, would just be like a machine, and they would power past me and be those first finishers. And obviously they had the technique, and I don't know how they did it, but I would always get to the end and think, you know, I feel like I'm leaner, and and it's got nothing to do with it, has it?
So you actually said it yourself when you said, I used to go out and I'd run as fast as I could. So the way you win a race is not by going out as fast as you can. The person that wins the race is the person that slows down the least. So you went out as hard as you could, just like so many people do. And then you think, wow, I'm knackered. And these people that have just been plodding along, doing their thing, they're sitting in that nice, comfortable heart rate zone. They're in their comfort zones, and they just mosey on past. Unfortunately, that's not me. I'm still a bit of a go out sprint, because I think I'm a runner when really I'm not.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all about pacing yourself.
Yeah, it's hard if you're in a fun run or a race of some sort.
No, it's a fun run.
But even the park run, you're in this massive group.
Your eyes are really scary right now. They're possessed.
Oh, are they? Sorry.
It's a fun run.
and picking on me, and the momentum. You know, you want to go. You
get swept up in the start. And one of the hardest things that I find with coaching new runners is to remind them so many times is just run your race. Don't get swept up in that momentum. You don't know what old mate next to you is doing. You don't know what his or her background is. Run your race.
Yeah, that's a nice way to finish. Was there anything else that you'd like to share, Stuart, before we play the music again and you can
I can jiggy on. No. Look, guys, if you could find us on Facebook, Slow Runner Society, there's no business, there's no advertising. It's just people that are probably at a run-walk stage, and that's okay. There are some people that are just at a walking stage, and that's okay. It's just about finding a safe place where you can go, and it's okay to not be, you know, in the top 10, or you're never going to be in the top 10. That's okay. You enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you can find the enjoyment. So head out the front door either today or tomorrow and go for that first walk.
Just focus
on getting to the end of the street and coming home. And that's it. That's awesome. That's perfect for day one. Really tiny one. Just head out the front door, walk to the end of the street, come home, and guess what? You've done day one.
Run to the toilet.
Then order pizza and sprint to the door. So technically, you've done two workouts. So the pizza's justifiable.
I don't know if we're doing your online business any.
Not at all. Sign up with me. Come and run, and you get pizza.
Well, thanks very much, Stuart, for joining me today.
No, I think it's been good fun.
Oh, and look, you're a good sport.
Absolutely. You've got to, it is what it is. There's no point in hiding from things. It is what it is.
Yeah. Power to you. Okay. Are you ready to dance? Oh,
dude, I was born ready. I'm Tasmanian.
Thanks very much.